the Bethel Deliverance app is now available to download for free at Apple Store and Google Play. You can tune into Sunday services through live stream, view video sermons on demand, listen to audio messages through podcasts, send prayer requests, communicate through social media, and you can contribute to the ministry simply by using today's technology. Get access to all of Bethel's media outlets and church events right at your fingertips. Go to the Apple Store or Google Play and download Bethel Deliverance to get connected today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
We're in the last phase of paying off this building. I think we have, if we do it on the schedule they have, it should be about a year. I think maybe about a year or so, if we do it the way they say. But last year I felt I wanted to renegotiate it because I wanted a cheaper rate. I wasn't paying all this interest. So I went to God and I said, all right, how are we going to do this? And so I started looking around at other places, and we had three offers that came from different places. So after I got the offer, I called our bank. And I said, I need to speak to my banking officer. So I got him on the phone and I said, we're going to leave you. I said, a 30-year relationship is about to be severed unless you can beat these interest rates. He said, Bishop Lambert, I don't think we can beat them. I said, fine. I'm so glad we've had this time together. He said, you're serious, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. I said, we're moving away. We're going. He said, let me call you back tomorrow. He called back and beat everybody's rate. Because he saw that we weren't going to be a slave to them. When you are on the Lord's side, he always has a better deal. But you can't be a slave to what you're comfortable with. We went from 14,000 down to 9. Putting the rest towards our new building. Because you have to learn by faith to look for God's avenue. Lord, y'all don't get me started. Because we keep looking for God to give us more when he's saying, I want to teach you how to manage what you have. And some of you could have more if you cut out some of what you have. You don't need HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax. It's all the same. How are you going to sit here and say, I don't have any money? Lord, supply my need. And you got an iPhone 7. With all the stuff in it. You listen, if you really are broke, you get a flip phone. Faith doesn't mean squander. Let me show you. Yay! One thing I don't like about our people in America is that we forgot the jubilance of our people in Africa. See, we don't dance. But every culture outside of America has a dance. That's what I loved about my big fat Greek wedding. The first one, when they got married, they were dancing. I was crying because they had a dance. I watched Taras Bulba and the Cossacks were getting ready to go into battle. They went down to the village and danced. I said, here we hear the Holy Ghost is on our side, that God's got everything you need, and we just sit there. When they crossed the Red Sea, the Bible said Miriam got the women together and they start beating those tambourines. We get delivered, we go back to our seat and just sit there. I believe when we get to heaven, it's going to be a dancing time. If you're one of those Christians that don't like noise, you best stay right here. Because if there isn't any noise in heaven, there will be when I get there. God. Look at this, look at this, look at this. Don't you know that's what the devil's trying to take from you? Don't you know that's what he's trying to take from you? The elimination of noise produces doubt. When God sent them to Jericho, he was dealing with me about this Jericho issue. He said, Jericho, historically, we learned that Jericho was the last obstacle between them and the promised land. They had beaten everyone else, and now they come to Jericho. Jericho's walls are 12 feet thick. It's about 62 feet in height. It's an impregnable city. And God said, the only way you're going to bring it down is with some noise. Because noise represents faith. You know why there's no noise in the doctor's office? Because you're scared. That's why they play that old dying music. Because you're sitting there scared. You ought to tell your doctor, I'm a Christian. I want different music in this office. I want music that'll make my faith grow. I don't need no dying music. I want music that's going to lift me up. And if they don't have it, bring your iPod. So that by the time they call you into that office, your faith is so high, your blood pressure is 110 over 70. They'll ask you how it gets so low. You start singing a praise. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. All that sorrow. We're Christians. We are descendants of Judah. We are noisemakers, devil chasers, wall bringers, downers. Why? Because we have faith. Hey! Watch this. You're a child of God. You are a child of God. The moment you become a Christian, you are immediately enabled to function in two realms. This one and God's. Over here, it's by sight. Over there, it's by faith. You had to learn how to function over here. So your parents and your family and your friends taught you. And you have to learn how to function over there. And the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the pastor teacher instructs you. Now watch this in Mark's gospel. Verse 22, Mark 11, he said, have faith in God. You can't have faith in somebody you don't believe. You can't have faith. You must believe. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Tell somebody, have faith in God. Turn back to the 7th chapter of Mark. Verse 24. And from there he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house, and he didn't want anybody to know he was there, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The operative phrase in verse 25 was, she heard of him. So when she heard, she believed. She began to put some evidence together, what I call the Columbo effect. She said, I heard about Jesus. Now he's in my land. And he must have come here to meet some need because Jesus never wasted his time. So if he's here and if what I heard about him is true, I'm going to him. Says her daughter had an unclean spirit and she came and fell at his feet. And this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. By nation. And she besought him that he would cast the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said, let the children first be filled, for it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She answered and said, yes, Lord, but the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to this woman, For this saying, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. Watch this now. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laying on the bed. I need you to tie this together. She heard about Jesus. She deduced that since he was up here, he came to help. She refused to let the theology stop her, but she did not ask him to come to where her daughter was. Because she heard about him, she knew he was capable and qualified to deal with a distant problem. She just told him about her daughter. Now, Matthew gives a more elongated version of this, and I don't want to go into all the other stuff. I just want you to see that by the time she gets home, her faith moved the power of God to touch her daughter. Why? Because this kingdom, all right, you know what this is, right? When it starts drying out, you put activator, okay? Right? Okay. Now, what is faith? The activator of the things in this kingdom. Y'all don't get me. Come here, Daryl. Come here, you and the cop. Come here. No, come this way. Don't be scared of the altar. Come here, you in the brown suit and the blue shirt. Yeah, come here. Kevin, no, whoever you are, come here. I ain't got no, you know who you are. Just get up here. Glory to God. Come here, Deacon. Come on, Deacon. Stand over here. You stand over here. You come over here. You come up here. Come on over here. You come up here. All right. All y'all face me. There we go. Now, I'm in the kingdom. Here's my healing, my deliverance, my prosperity. Get a little closer, prosperity, because I need to build a church. You get a little closer. And my prosperity, and this is my protection. All right? Now, the moment I'm, now y'all stay there. So I'm over here, right? I'm dogging it up over here, okay? Living like the heathen I am. Boom, the gospel comes. Hey, praise God. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in Jesus' blood. Okay, come on, boy. Boom, transports me. Scotty, beam me up, puts me right over here in the kingdom. And all of these things are present in the kingdom. Hold on now. Don't get too happy yet. Well, y'all the kind that go to the movies and start screaming before it's over. Now, all of these are here. They are permanently placed because they are in the kingdom. But my faith activates. It does not. My faith doesn't bring provision to me. It activates what's there. Why? Because I believe that God has given me health, prosperity, protection. I believe that God has given me those things. And if you can believe, my faith activates it. It's there all the time. I don't have to do anything but just believe that it's there. It's there. It's not God's will that I be sick. He gave me healing. It's not God's will that I be broke. He gave me provision. It's not God's will that the enemy gets me. He gave me protection. They're there in that kingdom. Thank you, brothers. It's there. Everything you need, it's there. Now, how do you activate it? Ah, there's the rub, said Shakespeare. We hear that it's there, but how do we activate it? These principles of the kingdom of God, these protections and provisions are constant. Amen. Eternal. But you have yet to activate them. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing. If faith is the activator, then the more I hear the word of God. When do you spray the activator on? When it's dry. All right, now again, I don't mean any disrespect, but the metaphor works. When do you wrap up your hair with a scarf and put a wig on? When it needs to get done, you hide it with something that looks good while you are waiting to get what's yours to look good. So when you are oppressed, you come to church anyway and you put the wig of praise on. You say, God, I ain't feeling it right now, but I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to give it to you anyway while I wait to be. You know that you're going to get it done. You know you are. You know you're going to be strong again. You know this light affliction is but for a moment. Don't let it beat you down. Put that wig on. Give him praise anyway. Give him a shout anyway. Let your faith take over. All right. All right. If the devil is successful in getting you to pay attention to what's broken, you will never focus on how to get it fixed. He wants you to look at the stuff that's going bad in your life, the things that are not working, the people who are coming against you. You can't even see the people that are on your side. You can't even see what God has done. All you're looking at is what he hasn't done. You're going through a light affliction. And Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's but for a
Woo!
Tell somebody, turn it back to a moment. You've been holding on to this too long. Turn it back to a moment. This is just a light thing. It's only for a moment. My faith is greater than my moment. My faith is greater than my moment. You're a Christian. You live by faith. Your faith is greater than your moment. Parents don't do this today because they don't have time. And parenting today is, you know, just plain wrong. But the parents of yesterday, those parents were unique. They raised their children to be more self-sufficient than the children of today. They raised their children to handle problems by not babying them when they had them. The children today, I mean, they riding bikes with helmets and elbow pads and shin pads and padded pants. And make sure you put your helmet on. We ain't have no stinking helmet. You had hickeys. Our children today, they have no stories. They get together, they don't have stories. Child, I fell off the bike and my helmet hit the grass. We had stories. I took the fork and stuck it in the electrical outlet. It didn't hurt that bad. Where you get that scar from? Oh, my brother hit me with a hatchet. And your parents didn't help. They buy you the big lawn darts and say, go out and play. You ain't have a lawn. They send you outside in the middle of the street. Go play in the street. Mama, their cars. You all right, duck them. And that's why the Bible said the children in the last days would be wiser but weaker. These kids today, they're weak. 2 inches of snow, school closed. We walk through snow up to our knees. We plow it. We would have snowplowed. School didn't have no heat. Wear an extra sweater. Put on a second pair of pants. Kids today, my nose is running. Then stay home, boo. Us, my nose is running. Grab a box of tissues and get your behind out of here. Why? Because when you grow up, you're going to have to go to work with a runny nose. Well, that's how God is. When you were first saved, he ran every time you cried. But later on, you cried. He said, what's in your mouth? He ain't come running to your rescue. Boy chased me home from school one day. My mother came downstairs. She said, leave him alone. Made that boy leave me alone. He did it again. She came downstairs. Leave him alone. He left me alone. Then she told my brother. Then he, like, fought with me. Sylvester chased me home again. Mama didn't come downstairs. She put her head out the window and said, hit him back or I'm going to hit you. I beat Sylvester down like a devil that was drunk. And God is saying, I'm tired of you running from the devil. I didn't give you armor for your back. You got a breastplate, a sword, a shield, a helmet, but nothing for your back. Don't be turning your back to the devil. Stand and fight. Use your sword. You got faith. Back that rascal up. Tell him I'm not going anywhere. You done took your last night of sleep from me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You're a child of God. Opa! In Mark 11, Jesus said, have faith in God. What's the purpose of the word? Well, Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing. But what are words designed to do? Affect your cognitive reasoning. Words are not just spoken to you for any reason. They're spoken to you for specific reasons. A teacher can teach and just stand there and give out papers. And they're still imparting the same information. But when they talk, it goes to the brain. It goes to the reasoning, the cognitive center of the brain. Not the emotions, not the amygdala, not the emotional. But it goes into the part of the brain that analyzes. Because words stir reasoning. Now, when the reasoning hits you in your brain, it begins to formulate thought. Now, I'm going to make this clear to you. You don't go to college to become smarter. Because a lot of people are smart, and I dare say intelligent, without college. But you go to college to learn reasoning skills. That's why employers want you, because they know that you know how to reason. See, it's not just what you're majoring in. It's what your brain is being disciplined to learn to do. Jesus does something here. I love this passage because he factors in two aspects of the brain and a part of your senses. He comes in and says, have faith in God. Now, again, how does faith come? By the consistent exposure of your reasoning to the word of God. It doesn't mean you have to understand it. It just means that you're exposed to it. About this time next year, where's your wife? I don't know. Okay, well, about this time next year, she's going to have a son. Yeah, right. Can I have a son when my husband is infertile? How's this going to happen? Why did Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But that's not going to stop the promise. Because here you find something that really, really, really boggles the mind. Without faith, you can't please God. When the promise came to Sarah, she laughed. The laughter represented doubt. When she was pulled on the carpet, she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But she makes it to Hebrews 11 with her testimony of faith. By faith, she conceives. But the story in Genesis says she didn't have any. I submit to you that after she heard it, she began to believe it. And when she believed it, she conceived. And so in Hebrews, what they're giving us in Hebrews is the after effect of what she heard. The initial response was laughter, just like our initial response is, I just can't believe it. But if you keep hearing it, it's going to shift your belief system. So at some point, she said, I guess I'm having a child. And when she said, I guess I'm having a child, she looked over at Abraham and said, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Because God did not give her a child like Jesus. He was the only one born, not of natural seed. Isaac comes by natural seed. So Abraham had to impregnate her. And even if she was infertile before, she had faith for one more egg. That means you never give up on God. God's word is so strong that he'll take what everybody else says is dead and energize it for one more chance. Woo! Whenever God finds faith, angels are sent. That means that something is about to be done. When you have faith in God, it affects something. He says, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his reasoning. This is the important part. The King James says heart. But you don't doubt in the heart. You doubt in the mind. And the mind becomes filled with a lot of things. So here's what he's saying. He said, if you say it and don't try to use human reasoning, he said, you're going to have it if you don't try to reason it out. Faith supersedes reason. I don't know how he's going to do it. But watch. Lord, help me. Whew. Listen, I feel the anointing. Watch this. Abraham had been told that he was going to have a son. Abraham had been told that Sarah would have a son. Abraham had been told he was going to be the father of many nations. But Sarah hadn't been told yet. Once Sarah was told, they had the kid. Sometimes we speak to the wrong thing. We speak to the wrong thing. What Jesus is trying to teach us is that faith doesn't deal with the minions, the little things around it. He said, speak to the mountain. Doctor tells you have a tumor. Speak to the tumor. Command that the tumor die. They diagnose a test. And as I said earlier, a test is nothing. It's just something to pass. Speak to your body. Tell your body, you're going to line up with the word of God. Listen to what he says. He said, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain he's talking about is literal. It's a real mountain. It's a real mountain. He said, speak to that mountain and tell it to go. He said, and if you don't doubt, if you don't try to reason, I wonder how it's going to go. Is God going to send an earthquake? What's he going to do to make it leave? That's not your business. Right. Stay out of grown folk business. Your job is to speak it. His job is to remove it. Your job is to believe it. His job is to act on it. Remember, the kingdom works when you participate. Job says something after his tests have become magnified. He said, the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me. Therefore, he was living his fear. What's yours? Now, you're a child of God. You should not have those kinds of fear. Those things have been handled at Calvary. Yes. I have spoken to my body, and I told it when it was going to die. I told it. I said, you're not going before this happens. Now, I know somebody talking about, that's in the hand of God. Sure is. And I'm just telling him what to put in his hand. Jesus doesn't say, you shall have whatever you say up to. When we realize the power that is here, then we begin to understand why the devil attacks here so much. He wants you to speak negatively. Yeah, well, you know, everybody in my family died before they were 60. I guess I am too. And you died 59 and a half. You do not have to succumb to every sickness. Most of what we take on to ourselves, we admit by verbiage. Because the natural doctor said, this is what's going on. And we say, yep, that's it. Praise the Lord. That's it. He said, I got it. She said, I got it. Then I got it. And God is sitting in heaven saying, you didn't have it till you spoke it. Now it's yours. That's why the Spirit of God taught me. He said, tell the people to say, I'm diagnosed with this, but by his stripes, I'm healed. The moment you own it, doctor told me I got arthritis. Doctor told me I got rheumatitis. Doctor told me I got COPD. Doctor told me I got BAR. Doctor told me I got GED. Doctor told me I got whatever. No. But what does God tell me I have? God tells me I'm a winner, not a loser. God tells me I'm above and not beneath. God tells me I'm the head and not the tail. God tells me I'm healed and not sick. God tells me I'm delivered and not bound. God tells me I'm a victor, not a victim. God tells me I'm on top and not the bottom. God tells me I'm great in him. And bless God, that's what I'm going to believe. Jesus said, you can speak to the mountain. I do not want you going out of here saying Jesus used mountain as a metaphor. That's a lie. When he deals with faith, he doesn't use metaphors. But he is saying that you and I have been given faith to move natural things. That means, all right? It's my 7:30 people. You my 7:30 people, right? Me and 7:30. We got a thing going on. Watch this. Here you are, Christian. Here you are, Christian. You're in the house, right? You're in the house. You're washing dishes, or brothers, you doing something in the house. Spirit of God says, go to the door. You go to the door and your child is in the middle of the street playing. Unbeknownst to the child, a car is barreling down on that child. You don't have time to run out and grab your child, so you turn and say, in Jesus' name, stop! And the car just, thump, the engine dies. Jesus said, you can move mountains. You can stop cars. You driving down an icy road and your car is sliding into somebody else. You say, Jesus! All right. That's my 7:30 people. That's the power. Woo, woo. Listen. Why does God do that? Because he does it. And you're his representatives. So that means you got power to do it. Before you say, God, stop the car. I ain't got time to say, God, stop the car in the name of Jesus. Stop! That engine gonna shut right off. Because that's my baby. You have an incredible ability to call the kingdom of heaven into your realm to act on behalf of you. That's all Jesus did. That's why he wasn't worrying. He was tapped into the real power. When I went to Rome, I made sure my hotel was right down the street from the American Embassy. That's right, right down the street from the American Embassy. So if something happened, all I had to do was run across the street and show them my passport. You know what? You gotta let me in. I'm a citizen, born here. I'm no vetted alien. I'm born here. Y'all hear me? You gotta let me in. You are a child of God. You should never be too far from your embassy. That was the whole purpose of the tabernacle, being right in the middle. You should never be too far from your tabernacle. You ought to have altars everywhere in your life so that when a terrorist from the devil comes, you go to your altar and say, God, you gotta let me in. I'm born into this kingdom. Help me, Holy Ghost, by faith. Faith.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2317A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The SPA Women's Ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church invites all women to join them for a live simulcast with Priscilla Shira and Worship with Anthony Evans.
Ministry is when you are patient still, when you are grace-filled still, when you still share the love of Jesus, and when you spend time in the Word of God. The reason is so that you can get to know His stripes, because it's by those stripes that you have been healed, that you have been set free, and that you have been delivered.
You'll be inspired and challenged to step into God's plan for your life as Priscilla delivers a powerful message of encouragement and truth from the Word of God. It's all happening Saturday, April 8th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Registration is $20, which includes lunch and materials. Don't miss the chance to experience Priscilla Shira live. Go to BethelDeliverance.org to register today.